You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We go to, it's a highlight of our year, and just a good friend of ours. And I want you to give Pastor Jerry a big warm welcome as he comes to minister to us. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Jerry.
Praise God. I thought I was in Asia there for a minute. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, praise God. How many got the shouting you left in off that wonderful praise? Let's give our praisers a good hand clap. Amen. Their band. Amen. It is wonderful to be here, and we thank God today that anytime that Jody will travel and meet up with me is always a big blessing. Amen. And so we thank God today. Some of you know the testimony of why Jody wasn't with me many times in my travels, but you know what, when you have a call of God, and Pastor Mike was saying a little bit about that, you know, there is hindrances, you know, and there is things that try to keep you from it, and but we made a commitment, you know, it wasn't like I made a commitment, we made a commitment.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're in a family unit, you make a commitment, you know, and all this separate books and separate checkbooks and all this stuff, and I don't want to get anybody's case, but you know, we made a commitment that we're a partnership.
Amen.
You know, we have one. Yeah. I don't make a wage, she don't make a wage, we make a wage. Amen. Everything we do is together, and so it's always great to have a prayer partner that I know is for me. Amen. I never question that. Now, sometimes I get a little bit messed up, so she has to pray me through. But you know, but I know one thing's for sure. She's always got her oars in the water, and we're always going in the same direction. So we thank God for it. Hey, come on, let's make a confession of our faith. We want to get you out of here early enough here today so you can have family unit time. So lift your Bibles up to heaven. And so, this is Psalms 139, verse 14. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Say with me today, I have found it in my Bible,
concerning me,
that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and boy, am I enthusiastic about it. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Amen. You know, the world, hi Eva, bless you. You know, the world is always looking for some enthusiastic people. We've been kind of talking about that a little bit this week. But you know, people are looking for some enthusiasm. They pay big bucks for it. Amen. And you've got it. Because we know that everything in this world is temporal and physical and subject to change. But the Word of God is eternal and it's never changing. That's what hooked me. You know, I mean, I was 30 years old before I ever got saved. I tried a lot of different things. Nothing would satisfy me. I never had an ambition. I never really... when I graduated from high school, I hated it because people were asking me, what do you want to do? Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Yeah, I went to the Navy, you know. Running from fears, running from, you know, low self-esteem, low worth and all that stuff. And didn't know I had a thing called dyslexia. I didn't know I had color deficiency. I almost flunked out of the service because I had color deficiency. I didn't even know what the word was. I didn't even know what that meant. All I knew was I couldn't decipher colors very well. I'm not blind, by the way. I can tell blue. Hallelujah for blue. All right. And so... you know, you put a rabbit in the field, and I can't hardly see him because it's all just green.
Well, just talking way back when you were young, teachers would put frowns on because you thought you were making grass green that was brown.
Oh yeah, yeah. I went through all that stuff. How many of you ever had color deficiency problems? They call it color blindness. A couple people will live up to it. Okay. But, you know, and then I had this thing called dyslexia. I didn't know what the heck that was. I just knew I seen things backwards. And sometimes I would try to read stuff. I couldn't see it properly. And in deciphering all that, going through our educational services, you know, I just come to the conclusion I'm stupid. Yeah. So anytime that God would try to advance me or circumstance would try to happen to help me, I would look to that and fear would grip me and I would shrink back and I couldn't do it. Because I had a fear of making a mistake. Yeah. How many of you know today that one of the first things God wants to deliver us from is ourselves?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we got to get our stinking thinking fixed up and get into a thinking of how God thinks about it. That's why that scripture is so important for me. Because, you know, when I look in the mirror, I don't want to look at my own natural abilities. I don't want to look at the real me. I mean, the fake me, this natural me, the me that the world has formed by its opinions and attitudes and tests and all the rest of that stuff. I want to look to the Word of God and find out that I am. You know, that was Paul. I mean, that was the psalmist's revelation. He wrote it. It was his revelation that he was fearful. He was wonderfully made. And you know what? But I did made a decision. I wanted that revelation about me. Because when I looked in the mirror, man, all I saw was a big nose and big ears. That's it. Well, how many of you look in the mirror and you're looking at that little blemish? You're looking at that little thing. You know, we go to everything to get all those things fixed up because we want a better image of ourselves. But here's where the image got to be. Pastor Mike is talking about inner things, and that's what we really need to look at today. And you know, I'm a simple person. I believe in God. I believe in the heavens. And how many believe heaven's a wonderful place? But how many figured out we're not there yet? Now Jesus did say that we could pray and get heaven on earth. And so that's what it's all about me. But if we don't know who we are, how are we going to be able to do that? So the whole principle of me in the Christian life is to finding out who we really are. You know, what you may think of yourself has all been formed normally by this world. We've got to go to the book and find out who we are in Christ Jesus. So let's bow our head and let's get into a little bit of that. I have been preaching quite a bit, and because of that, I really have to empty myself today and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. I don't want my message. I want your message. This is a different group of people. You have different needs, and God knows each and every one of them. Father, we thank you today, Father, for your love, for your word. And Father, we thank you that we are a people called and designed by you, that we're not a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. And Father, we thank you today that we are cherished and we are wonderful people that you've called, you've anointed, you have equipped. And Father, I thank you today that we are able to rise up in the name of Jesus, finding ourselves in the book. And Father, not conforming to our own image, but conforming to your image, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So we thank God today. I just wanted to not preach all these things. But I do have a couple things, and they're in my Bible. And I've learned a long time ago that my notes are just mean nothing.
Yeah.
They're just there for me to start off. So I did want to have you look to you with us. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. I don't preach a lot out of the Old Testament because, you know, Pastor Mike and I was talking about, you know, why preach upon types and shadows when we have the real thing. You know, and so Jesus is the real thing. He's the pattern. He's the one that I realize is sonship, and that's the one I'm going to pattern after. But you know, we do pick up some good things out of the Old Testament, and because my message is really, I was really getting turned down when the dad here stood up and started talking about the dreams of Mercedes over here, because that's really the topic of my message today: be a dreamer.
Amen.
You know, and. I can remember my father rebuking me because I was a dreamer. Son, it's time to grow up. Stop playing with those cars. Stop playing with those things. I used to make. You know, I never even realized this. That just the other day, honey, I was thinking about this. You know, most kids play with like the little girls. They play with the Barbie dolls. That was her generation, Barbie dolls. Well, when most children was doing like Barbie doll houses, Tina was making Barbie doll villages. You know, I would come home and our whole front room would be transformed into this village, you know, and you couldn't even get in the house. She'd build a village within our home. And I was thinking about that, you know, I used to do stuff like that. But see, as a little boy, my dad would tell me, grow up, you know. Don't be playing around with this stuff and da-da-da-da-da. You know, we don't realize how many times we're dream killers. Instead of dream builders.
Amen.
Amen. So we need to understand that, yeah, there's a time that we need to be serious and time to do our chores and all the rest of that. But you know what? We don't want to ever stifle the dreams and the visions of our young people or even our older congregation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Joseph, we see, was a dreamer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we see that he had two basic dreams. Okay, And we realized that one was sheaves. They gathered up and they had his bundle rose up and the other bundles bowed down to it. And then we have another dream that he dreamed about the moon and the stars. And then the stars bowed down to the moon. Now, when he told the one about the sheaves to his brothers, did his brothers get excited? Now, when he told the one about the moons and the stars to his daddy and his brothers, did they get excited? So what we have to realize right off the bat, not everybody's going to get excited about your dreams. Okay? You just need to get understand. That's why we need to have a biblical platform, the Word of God, about everything that's given to us. Amen? God wants to stir us to look into the supernatural, to look into the beyond our natural realms and dream the dreams of God.
Yeah.
Amen. God was a dreamer. You know, in Genesis 1, we see where God envisioned the earth. He dreamed. He envisioned things.
Amen.
He thought within himself. He got it all planned out. Amen. Visions and dreams. Everybody say visions and dreams. God's people are supposed to be a people of vision and dreams. Amen. We're never to settle for what we have. Now, we're not to covet. Don't get me wrong. We're not to always be standing in want because, you know, I believe in Psalms 23, you know, I have no wants. I don't have any wants. But I do have visions. I do have dreams. Amen. Matter of fact, in the text of Joel, there, you know, Joel 2:28, where it says your old men will dream dreams, and your old men. So I had that vision. Well, you know, guys, just we're getting a little older. We're not going to be as active. You know, man, we'll just be dreaming. Amen. And then the younger guys are more active. They'll be visionarians. But you know, I studied that that thing from every angle I could get. But you know, I couldn't get that to back that up at all.
Yeah, come on.
Really, dreams and visions was the same thing.
Right.
Amen. It's a message. It's a revelation from God about you.
Yes.
Amen. It helps us in the area of saying, well, what's the road signs of my life? Psalms 25 talks in verse 4, I think it is. It talks about, oh, God, show me the path of life. Show me the road. The New Testament says, not the New Testament, but the New Living Bible says it this way. Show me the road to live on. Show me the road that I'm supposed to be on. It's a personal thing. See, when we get a dream, when we get a revelation of something like that, it's personal. Can you say amen?
Amen.
David, Psalms 139 there. That was personal to him. Well, see, what's wonderful about the written word of God or the revelations of God, even though Paul or somebody else might have had it, we can grab onto that thing and make it personal ourselves.
Yes.
See, all the promises of God are what? Yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So there's not a promise here we can't grab onto. But we need a revelation. We need a dream. We need to meditate that thing to where it becomes ours. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Have you ever seen somebody that had a great life and you thought, I wish I had one like that? You know? Come on, be real. You ever seen some things? I'll tell you what, before we got saved, young family, just the three of us, our oldest daughter's there, was born at that time. We lived in a particular street, and there was this Catholic couple. And they had about 6 or 7 kids. And we would observe them. And we would observe their closeness. And, you know, we almost became Catholics because of that. Because we wanted a nice family. We wanted a loving family. And we thought, man, these people are together. You know, and we would look at them and say, well, we wish we had, our family would be like that. Because, you know, I had a small family. Jody had a big family. But they were, was anything but together. You know, and I always wanted a bigger family because I didn't have one. And I you know, got involved in her family. And after a while, I didn't know if I wanted one or not. But it wasn't Jody's fault. I'll tell you that. She had a heart for her family. All her siblings thought of her as mother. She had some older sisters that mothered her, you know, because they had dysfunctional families, you know. They just gather up and help one another. Amen. But we want to dream the dreams of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But I realize to dream, we have to believe. We have to believe in something. We have to have some core beliefs in our lives. And I found that the only thing in this world that I could ever think that wasn't going to shift or change on me was the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. This is the truth. This is the way. This is the life. Amen. And so we want to thank God. So I wanted to just help you with a little bit of thinking about that. Turn with me to Pastor Mike's favorite scripture, Acts 16, verse 31. That's why you're starting to turn my crank this morning. Get me going. Acts 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it? And you will be saved. You in your old household. I don't know about you, but when you boil it all down to the necessities of life, listen to me, it's about you in your household. The most important thing. When I was a young foolish man, I had all these friends, guy friends. You know, and now I'd be working all day and then come home and want to run around and do some things at nighttime with my friends and all this and all that. I know you wouldn't believe it about Pastor Jody, but she would actually say to me, honey, stay home with me or this or that. And I got into my head, well, you know, you're just trying to rule over me and you don't want me to have any fun. And, you know, I have my friends and blah, blah, blah. All that stupid thinking, you know. And I realized, you know, and it took me more than it should have taken me. It took me over 10 years of marriage to finally realize that she was my best friend. That the most important things in my life was the very people that loved me and was part of my life. I feel so bad because we do a lot of things in prison and jail ministries, and we realize other foolish people out there are spending their lives, spending all their energy, all their money, in all the wrong things, in all the wrong places, and then when they get older, they have nothing. And I see some people, you know, sometimes homeless people or this or that, and I think, you know, they've spent their lives trying to get and be and all this stuff, and they didn't cherish the ones that really was the most important thing in their life, and that's family. And that's why, you know, we in the church we've expanded that thing. Now we no longer just think of our own family. We think of the house of God as our family, because that's what it is. Amen. I can think of Jody, if you weren't here, Jody's testimony, Pastor Jody's testimony is about our daughter passing away at 25. But when she first got sick, it so devastated us as a young couple. We just couldn't think about, at that point in time, having another child. So we made a decision. We're never, the responsibilities and all this, we're just never going to have another child. We have one older daughter, but we, after Tara got sick and everything, we said, we're never going to have any more children. Well, that was all fun and nice, but you know, then we look at Pastor Mike and Brenda here and their children and how they work in the ministry and how they're so involved and how our own daughter is very active in our own ministry. And we think of, you know, how silly that was for us to think along those lines, because what we didn't consider was the people in our congregation still had children. And we love those children as our own children. If they have a problem, we got a problem. Amen? As pastors, we didn't realize that we were hooked up with other people. See, the household of God is just as important to us now as our own personal family. Because why? Now we are family. Amen. Right. Amen. And so we need to understand that when we come and we just come to church, that's more. We're having a family gathering. Yeah. And we really believe in desire to be involved with one another. And like Mercedes here, to believe God for her and believe with her that all her expectations and dreams are going to come to pass. Or no matter who it is in our congregation, we found out in strange ways, maybe, sometimes, just how important our commitment to one another is. So it's important for us to believe in things of the Word of God. Amen? Yes. And so I broke that. What's that nice word, honey, when you break a word down and you start saying about the letters?
Acronym.
Yeah. Say it out loud so everybody can hear you.
Acronym.
Because sometimes I can't even say it. But I know how to do it. Okay? And I found out if I don't know how to spell it, hire somebody that does. Okay, so.
Or marry somebody
that does. Amen. I mean, we're going to talk about this because, you know, I see to be a dreamer, we need to believe. So that's what kicked me to Pastor Mike's favorite scripture there. The key word is believe. Everybody say we're believers. Well, what y'all believing in? See? A lot of people are believers. Even the devil's a believer. He knows there's a God. But he don't believe him is for Savior.
Right.
See? He don't understand. There's a lot of people out here in the world, if you say, yeah, you know, do you know God? Oh, yeah, I know God. Oh, well, are you a believer? Well, yeah. Well, what do you believe? Well, they believe all kinds of bunker stuff, you know? So we're going to say, what do we want to believe here? If we're going to be a dreamer, we got to believe boldly to take steps to achieve our goals.
Yes.
We got to be the bold bunch. Turn to your neighbor, kind of edge him a little bit. Say, be bold.
Be bold.
Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is be as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
Amen. We want to be bold. Everybody say bold.
Bold.
Boldly take steps to achieve your goals. Amen. Nobody else will. Amen. I mean, nobody will take the initiative. There are a lot of people have, you know, Pastor Jody has a lot of ideas, and I challenge her all the time on some of these ideas is, you know, well, do them. You know, you ever hear about people always inventing things in their mind? Well, do it.
Yeah.
Oh, God gave me this great idea. Well, do it. Why are you holding off on it? See, we need to be bold. If we're going to be a dream builder, if we're going to be a dream fulfiller, if we're going to have visions and envision things, then we need to put active goals out there and start achieving them.
Yeah.
See? So if you're going to be a believer or a dreamer, then what you're really saying is, I'm going to be an achiever. I'm not going to sit back and wish. I think I heard that out of Pastor Jody's message yesterday. You know? I woulda, coulda, shoulda. You know?
Excuses.
No, we need to be achieved. Bold. If God, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, what congregation do sometimes even is, you know, they'll have a vision from God come to pastor and say, this is what the church should be doing.
Yeah, they will.
No, this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Jody tries to give me some revelation sometimes. I said, no, you stand up. That's your revelation. Give the word out, you know, yourself. I'm not going to repeat. No, you do it. Amen. Somebody say, take boldly. Take steps to achieve your goals. Then E is to endure. Everybody say endure.
B is for bold.
B is in bold. E is for endure. Endure all hardships with courage and perseverance. You know, Joseph, when he had his dream, he had to endure some things. Man, he got thrown in a ditch. I mean, if they hadn't been afraid of their dad, they'd have let him die down there. Then they went off and sold him to some Egyptians, a caravan, took him into bondage. You know, he endured those things. He went in prison, persevered. And then I mean, he gets in Egypt, and he's sold off into slavery. And then because he's quite good with numbers and such, he gets put over all this man's rulers, his goods, and he's making it out pretty good. You know, the guy says, everything I have, I'm just put under your hand. And he was the ruler of the home, and I'm sure he had a pretty good life. And then a woman rose up, lied about him. He got thrown in prison. Everybody say endured.
Endured.
See, not everything you're going to have to face in life is your fault. I found that out a long time ago. I used to beat myself. I used to, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, I just wished that I was as big a decision making in my congregation's minds as I thought I was. You know, sometimes, you know, people make decisions way beyond you. It's not out of your power. Not everything is your fault. Amen. But you can endure all things through Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? So you need to endure hardships. He gets under that situation. Now looky here. Here's a dreamer. Everybody say dreamer. He never let hardship stomp out of him the ability to dream.
Right.
He's in prison. He works hard. See, now dreaming don't mean that you don't work. He worked for the rich man. He worked in prison. And he became the warden. Basically, almost a man underneath the warden. He ruled over the whole prison. And guess what happened? He goes off and has himself a dream. Well, what was the one? The baker and the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, cupbearer and the baker, whatever. You know, one guy's head chopped off and da-da-da-da-da, you know. And then, guess what? He says to the guy, well, remember me. He interprets the dream of another, and guess what? Pharaoh then brings him before him. And man, he became a deliverer for his family. Listen to me, we don't realize God's designed dreams and visions for us to be a savior to our family.
Yeah.
In the small family, but guess what? He didn't just save his family, he saved nation. Israel. He saved the lineage of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
You don't realize we have soul. This is the word of the Lord, matter of fact. It came on me on this very trip to Australia. It really hit me hard. We have allowed the devil to minimize us.
Yes.
We, the great body of Christ, have let the devil minimize us to think that we're of no importance.
Yeah.
Friends, we are of great importance. God has set us up in the day that we live to be the Josephs of this day.
Come on.
Amen. He's told us to be the dreamers. He's given us everything that we need in Christ Jesus. It's been fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Everything that you have need, everything that I have need, is already in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, guess what? The kingdom of God is not far from me. It's near from me. Amen? It's near to me. And guess what? The kingdom of God is in me. The kingdom of God is not what? Meat nor drink. What is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy. See, we've left the devil to think that righteousness, peace, and joy have something to do with what you do. And not who you are. To be a dreamer, you got to be who you are. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're great. You're mighty, and you can do all things. Amen. I want you to encourage yourself to be a dreamer. Stir up the dreams, the visions, the callings within you. Because God wants to bring you into greatness. Not for that you can say cock-a-doodle-doo. No, He wants you to know He's raised you up for a purpose. And a place in this generation that you might be an enabler for good things. Can you say amen? All right, we did B for bold, E for endure, L for look. Look for new opportunities in every day. Oh, there's all kinds of opportunities out there to be an achiever, to fulfill your dreams. But so many times we can get our head in the clouds. One person said, I don't know how it can happen. I don't think this can actually happen if you're true heavenly minded, that you're no earthly good. I believe the only way you can be any earthly good is to be heavenly minded.
Yeah.
All right? So I think that might have been wrote in the Murphy's Book of Laws there, along with that other negative stuff, you know. But we thank God today. Look, we're lookers. See, we're kind. The Bible you call the men of God that would get the revelation of God is seers. See, we need to be seers. We need to be lookers. We need to be looking for opportunities. You know, I forget who I was talking to, but whenever I'm walking, I like to walk in, and I walk. I'm always looking. You know, yesterday I found me a quarter. Not yesterday, but yeah, no, it was on the road. But you know what? Today was a quarter. It might be $1,000. Not tomorrow. It might be an Indian head. It might be some valuable thing, you know. I'm always, when I scuba dive and do stuff like that, I'm always looking. I'm always looking. Why? There's a treasure out there. Ooh, boy. I'm going to find her someday. You know, well, I found one. You know, it was Jesus. I found two. It was Jody. Amen. So she's a treasure. We thank God today that there's many treasures to be found out. But we got to look for these opportunities. You know, we can't let fear. The Bible said perfect love what does what? Casteth out fear. What perfect love? What does that mean? God before me, who can be against me? Amen. I don't have to fear failure anymore. Because I found out the testimonies of greater men than me that I'll ever be, that they had probably more failures than they ever had successes. But see, we've remembered the successes.
Yeah.
Without failure, you can't be a success. Because it's a thing of trying. It's like prophesying. Most people won't prophesy or stuff like that because they're afraid of missing it. Well, wonder if you hit it. You know? One of our first missions conferences, a man would come and he said, challenged us on, well, what kind of a What kind of goals do you have here today? Well, we're wanting to raise money for Jesus. Amen. Well, you know, well, how much? Well, you know, as much as we can. Well, he says, well, listen to me. If you have a target out here, if you don't have a bullseye, how are you going to hit it?
Yeah.
And so we start realizing, well, wait a minute. No, we need to look ahead and see what we want to fulfill and then set that as a goal.
Yes.
What did you want to say, hon?
I said, it's not failures. It's just another thing that didn't work.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Keep trying.
Stepping stones. Stepping stones to your success. Everybody say, look.
Look.
We're always looking for new opportunities. Amen. We're looking into our in our community. Say, what do they need? See, every need is really just an opportunity. Everybody say, every need is just another opportunity. So when our community has need, the church has opportunity. Amen. So we look at those things. I for intend to be the best that you can be. Intend. You know, everybody says, well, I can't be anything I'm not. Well, see, that's the problem. You are the best. You know, God would only send the best.
Amen.
Amen? And when God sends you out on something, when God gives you a vision or a dream or you have something you want to do in life, you are the best. If you weren't the best, He wouldn't give you that. The fact of it is, you're the best that could ever do that. Because, see, you and your uniqueness are the only one that could fulfill that. So don't ever let the devil stomp out a dream out of you. Don't ever let the devil try to tell you that you don't have purpose, that you don't have place, that you're just, you know, I'm just a congregational. But no, hush up that. That's not what you are. You're a dreamer.
Yeah.
You hear from God. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in, blessed going out. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Everything you put your hand to prospers. That's who you are. That's your covenant. That's your contract. He took all the junk. He gave you all the blessing. Amen? I mean, what a deal. I mean, if you're going to sell something, sell it on a punchline. You know, you are God's best. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're God's best. But you know what? I figured out one thing. If you want to be enthusiastic, you have to act enthusiastic. If you want to be the best, you have to act the best. You know? Amen. And we know how to be failures. You know? Why was I a failure? Because I thought I was a failure. It all depends on what you believe. Amen? E. Endeavor to live a life God leads. Endeavor. Make a purpose of it. Amen. I'm going to be what God's called me to be. That's Psalms 25 again.
Yeah.
Lord. I mean, there's only one place that I can find if it be God's will. You know?
Yeah.
And that's in the area of I'm going to go to a certain place and earn a certain amount of money. You know? That's presumption. God says, no, in that particular case, say, if it be God's will, I'll go to this particular town and I'll make this much money. I don't see it about healing. I don't see it about prospering in general. I don't see it in any of the places that religion has really tried to put it. I only see it in this area. Well, guess what? If God's told me to go to a town and make a certain amount of money, that's a whole different thing. Amen. Then we're going to say, well, if it be your will. But you know what, I mean, in another situation. But I'm going to believe God that when He gives us witty ideas, we're going to thrust ourselves and do our best to do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Say, right road. I want to be on the right road to walk. Amen. Praise God. Venture, to go. I always like this one here because how many like Star Wars? Venture to go where no one has gone before. Hallelujah. I mean, how many of you like venture? Now, some people don't always like it by nature, but I like it. I mean, there's one song I love more than any other song. It's called The Great Adventure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that just gets me so cranked on. I get on my motorcycle. I was coming out of Durango, coming down 160 down through the desert and into the Grand Canyon. I'm telling you what, I was dreaming dreams. I was I was seeing cowboys and Indians. I was on an adventure. Amen. But you know what? That's a natural venture. But you know what? I found that 74, February 10th, 1974, I started the greatest adventure I could ever imagine. And that was a life following Christ. Amen? Venture. Venture out. You know? Blow out the walls. Venture to go where maybe nobody has gone before. Well, you know, they always tell you that, don't they? In medical worlds or anything else. Well, nobody's ever done that before. Well, I thank God that a lot of people have had a different idea. You know, those people that invented that plane that broke the sound barrier, they had a different idea. They never gave up. You know, I think about that guy who broke the mile. You know, nobody could do it. You know, they said, you know what they actually said? If anybody breaks that record, their heart will explode. You know, some guy just did not, he didn't have Nike shoes or nothing. He just decided that his legs could go faster than anybody else's. And you know what? He broke it and his heart didn't explode. So he broke the myths. We're myth breakers. We're adventure takers. Amen. Why? Because we got a secret source in us that the world don't know about. We got this thing, an ingredient inside of us. It's called faith. Amen. We believe something. We actually believe that we are the head, not the tail. We actually believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Now, any other belief is pride. And the Bible says God resists the proud. So I want to be humble. I want to receive what God says about me. I want to receive what God says about you. And I want to start seeing you that way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So everybody say with me, bold.
Bold.
Endure.
Endure.
Look.
Look.
Intend. Endeavor.
Yeah.
Venture out.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do one other thing. Entrust your future to God.
Amen.
That's my definition of belief. I'm going to entrust my future to God. I want to leave you with four basic words. It's a buzzword in the business world today. It's called epic. We're to experience. We're to participate. We're to have an we're to be able to image. I forget the word for it, but imager. We're to be an imager. So we're to experience, participate, image, and then, well, I'm trying to use epic. Okay, so it's image. Okay? EPIC. Communicate. See, if you're going to be a dream builder, you've got to first be able to experience it. You've got to participate with your dream. Never give yourself to your dreams. You've got to be an image. You've got to be able to image it. You've got to be able to imagine it. You've got to be able to look at it. I love Barry Follett. He's going to be coming out here to the church out here. But Barry is the only guy that I know, actually, that has an image of his church. He's projected that in his mind. And he knows the not only the number of bushes that he's going to plant, he knows what type they're going to be. He's talking right now. Now there's going to be a tree over here, and he'll describe the tree and the whole nine yards. I mean, I know guys that I can do that inside. I'm builder, you know, kind of looking at the building. I have that vision for my building. But I hadn't even thought about the yard. This guy's thought about the yard. You know what I'm saying? He knows all the trees out there. You know, there's a guy that's walked his vision. He's walked his imaging out there. And guess what? Then he's learning how to communicate that. See, connect up, communicate. Be a vision builder that communicates that. Now that's scripture, because it says, you know, if we don't write it down and make it clear, then people can't run with it. Because see, we need other people to fulfill our dreams.
Yes, that's right.
See, I'll kind of end with this. I used to think here when I was in different types of businesses, but I thought I'm gonna be self-employed. I got into sales and this and that, and I didn't realize that other people could mess you up big time. So, you know, and then when the Lord called us, you see, we don't just drop every dingbat thought we have when we get saved and God calls us. We kind of carry some of that stuff right into the other thing. So when I went out in ministry, I thought, bless God, I'm a pastor. Now, I'll be doing it, you know. I didn't realize people could still mess you up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? See, I used to sit in my garage and pray, intercede. Oh, God, you know, use me and all this stuff, you know. Well, I found out a long time ago, it takes quite a few people of our church. It takes a lot of people here at this church to get this dream working.
That's right.
It takes us all to do it. There's no way you're going to get your dream working without people.
That's right.
Say with me, a clean stall brings forth no increase. See, thank God that this stall is full. Can you say amen?
Yes.
You're bringing forth the increase. It gets messy from time to time. You need to clean her up. But you know what I'm going to say? It's going to take us all working. You know, that's what fellowship is. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Fellowship. A bunch of fellers in the same ship. But you know what? We all got to get our oars in stroking at the same time. You know, when one side is a little stronger than the other side, what do? You spin in circles. So you guys just got to get it all going at the same time. Will you bow your heads with me today? Father, I want to thank you today, Father, for this wonderful congregation, Father. And I thank you today that ministry's gone forth, healings have gone forth already. So, Father, we just pray basically for the dreams to be activated and stir up the dreams and the callings and the equippings that you have called us with. Father, I thank you today that they are blessed of the Lord and they shall not be cursed, Father. And I thank you today that if they haven't got dreams, Father, I thank you today the testimonies will come forth, Father, as they open themselves up to be dreamers again, to be in visionaries again, Father, that they'll remember that there's important things to happen to build those dreams into reality, Father, and we thank you today, right now for them. So, Father, we, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you today that you stir up the dreams and the callings within this congregation, that they might go on and do even greater things than they've even imagined, Father, that this fellowship could accomplish. Father, we thank you right now. We come against the limitations of our own thinking, Father, and we die to ourselves, Father, that we might be awakened unto you, Lord, and to dream the dreams and to believe what you've called us to do is feasible. In Jesus' name, amen. You have something you want to share, hon?
Pastor Jerry and I just want to tell you from our congregation, all of them wish they could be here too.
Oh, yeah.
And but all of you, anytime you're in Michigan, you have another home church, a sister church, brother church together. And we love, love, love your pastors. And now I get to love their family. I'm getting to know them individually. And the kids gave me some of my first experiences since I've been here. And I got to experience Cece's last night, and that was an experience, and it was fun. So we had a lot of fun in the game room. But we just want to tell you that when you release your pastors, and I know you release them from many different places, but in Michigan, you release them to fun fellowship and fun in the sun and connections, global connections.
Yes.
And one of the ladies said today they were so proud of their pastors for bringing the gifts home. They really appreciate you finding treasures and bringing them home. And Pastor Jerry and Mike's lives have crossed many years through Lakewood.
Yeah.
But see, God doesn't waste anything. There's seasons and times. And we're having a great time, and we believe it'll be a long season.
Amen.
So thank you so much for having us.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.